Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Got that going. All right. We about to go. I'll see you in a minute.
All right.
The mic drop.
Nothing wrong with my computer.
Of course, there's something wrong with him. He's a Negro.
Somebody drop this fool for me.
The mic drop. Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy Big Mike, man. Welcome to another episode of the Big Mike Drop. We got Ronnie in the building. What's happening, Ronnie? How you doing?
Hey, yo.
Man, back in the cockpit. I feel at home. I'm back home. I love it.
Yay.
And it's October.
Tonight. It was so energetic.
Yeah, man. It's October, man. It's Halloween month. And Halloween is probably my second favorite holiday.
Really?
Yes. It's one of my favorite holidays. So tonight's show, I felt like all shows this month, we're going to veer from the path just a little bit. But we'll still try to tie everything in and keep everything on message, though. But I want to talk about some doom and gloom.
Yeah.
We're about to enter a real dark time, and I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't say something about it here on the Big Mike Drop. So we're going to talk about some doom and gloom things this month on the show. All things bad in commemoration of Halloween. How that sound?
Right. That's fair enough.
That's fair? Let's roll with it.
Halloween month, as you say.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I know y'all used to me keeping my foot on your necks about the stupid shit that we do. But this month, I feel a little bit generous. I want to give y'all some game this month. We want to chop up game. We want to talk about real things that are going to impact people.
Yes.
So I'm excited. I know it sounds macabre, But I'm excited, and it feels good being back. I'm sorry, y'all. It just feels good being back. I just got to take time and bask in the moment. I'm very refreshed. I'm very refreshed. I've been home for a couple of days, man. Got my business handled, and you know, I feel good. Feel good.
That's
went on Mr. Palmer's show today. Shout out to Mr. Palmer, man, in the building, man. Mr. Palmer shouted me out. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully we got that brother back on the show. We had him the Thursday before I left, but hopefully we get that brother back on the show to, you know, come chop up some more game and, you know, kick it with the mic droppers out here. So who we got in the comments tonight? Who's in the comments tonight? Let's look and see. Nobody yet. Shout out if you're in the comments, man, and you want to, you know, you want to shout at us. Also, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to this video or to the channel, but like and share this video. Those likes are very important. That runs us up in the algorithm. So without further ado, well, one more thing. I got a surprise for y'all. So we decided to add another segment to the show. And it's my own wife, the lovely Miss Amber Alert. So I was struggling with some things. You know, we kind of got on the kick to where we started talking about a lot of gossip and things like that. And it started kind of taking over the whole show. I'm not saying that stuff isn't important. It's very important. But I think that we need to add something to the show to kind of get all of that out in one whop.
Yeah.
And then we can discuss it, you know, throughout the show. But I think that being able to compile the information and, the, you know, give us the information, she's specific, very talented at that. She's very talented at that. So, yeah. I mean, we got our own in-house research team just in my wife. Miss Amber Alert. So tonight, I'm going to start out the show on a lighter tilt before we get all doomy and gloomy, because she does sum up some things that are going on, and she sums up some things that we'll be talking about. Give a special shout out to Amber, Miss Amber Alert.
Hey, Amber.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I want y'all to join me in watching the first episode, graphic design done by yours truly. And it's going to get better. This was just the test run. This is the prototype of the show. So I definitely want your feedback on it. But without further ado, we're going to go to the Amber Alert. So I'll see y'all in about 3 or 4 minutes.
Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Miss Amber Alert. And I'm back with all the alerts you need. And some that you don't. Let's get into it. Woo-hoo. Well, Mark Zuckerberg is having a crappy week. On Sunday, a Facebook whistleblower, former employee Frances Haggis, came forward and conducted an interview on CBS's 60 Minutes. Look, she basically spilled the beans to say that Facebook cares far more about its profits than its moral responsibility to cut down on toxic content. Oh, yeah. Is anyone surprised? I'm not. Then, on Monday, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp all experienced a worldwide outage that lasted over 6 hours. 6 hours! Twitter was up and running the entire time with plenty of users flocking over there to question, comment, and just simply make fun of the situation. Look, I guess it's a form of redemption for Bootsy since he's perpetually getting banned from Instagram. Bootsy himself tweeted, "Hey, they took my Instagram and then everything got shut down. Hashtag God. Hashtag anointed." What's worse, Mark Zuckerberg has reportedly lost $7 billion this week alone, dropping him to the fifth wealthiest person in the world, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires. In other social media news, Donald Trump wants his Twitter fingers back. He wants his Twitter fingers back. On Friday, the former President Trump's lawyers filed court documents asking a federal judge to restore his Twitter account. Well, it looks like Boosie and Trump have a little something in common. Woo-hoo! Is Cash Money Records still taking over for the 99 and 2021? Well, if you ask Urban Meyer, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, then the answer is yes! Woo-hoo! Videos have surfaced of a young woman bagging that thing up on him in a Columbus, Ohio restaurant over the weekend. This led to Meyer apologizing. apologizing in a team meeting on Monday. And I quote, I just apologized to the team and staff for being a distraction. Just stupid. And so I explained everything that happened and owned it. Just stupid.
Woo-hoo.
Well, I wonder what Shelly Meyer and the kids had to say about this matter.
Woo-hoo.
While Urban Meyer was out having a night on the town, Shelly Meyer took to her Twitter fingers and replied, I'm babysitting. Hashtag my choice. Hashtag me Hashtag buddy deserved a night out.
Woo-hoo.
Well, I guess there's no doghouse or sofa night in the Meyer household. If you like it, I love it.
Woo-hoo.
Maybe Wakanda is forever. Well, it sure is at Howard University.
Woo-hoo.
Netflix has partnered with Howard University, Chadwick Boseman's alma mater, to create a $5.4 million Chadwick Boseman scholarship fund.
Woo-hoo.
According to a press release, this scholarship will provide one freshman student per incoming class with a four-year scholarship to cover the full cost of tuition. It will focus on students who exemplify exceptional skills in the art and demonstrate a financial need.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks for checking in with your girl, Miss Amber Alert. Check back with me soon for all the alerts that you need and some that you don't.
Woo-hoo!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was the first episode of the Amber, Miss Amber Alert. I'm sorry, we said the
that
Amber, Miss Amber Alert. You like that?
I love it.
Man, give me some feedback in the comments, man, and let me know, should we keep the Miss Amber Alert coming on the show?
It was very entertaining.
All right, man, that's what I'm talking about. Also, man, we got a special going on. Hold on. Yo, this goes out to Big Rich, Big Mag the Fisherman with the $20 Cash App, man. We appreciate that, homie, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yo, what's happening? What's happening? He said keep it. Big Mag said keep it. Keep it. Most definitely, man. We're going to keep Amber Alert, man.
Definitely.
All right. So, any feedback on any of that news going on?
A lot. She got a lot covered very quickly. That was really good.
Yeah, man. I'm going to say this one thing about the Urban Meyer tape. You didn't see this man's hands not one time during the damn tape. His hands was all up under her booty doing something. He was getting it in, man. And, you know, shout out to Urban Meyer, man. You know, we all got that freak in us, man. Everybody got to get out, you know, let somebody back that thing up, little teenager, whatever she was. She was young. She was real young, real blunt. But, hey, the brother keeping his swag up. Wifey don't have no problem with it. She at home babysitting. So, and she seemed to be proud of that.
He's been a good sport now, but I bet you when he got home, he got it.
Yeah.
He had it coming to him. She's just been a good sport for the camera.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yo, my man Kojak in the motherfucking building. Jack, man, what's happening, man? Hey, he need to give us a call, man. Appreciate it, man. Congratulations on the progress. Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you, man. We're going to keep pushing, man. Hit me up, man. We're going to open up the phone lines, man. Love to hear from you tonight. Love to hear from you. So, on a darker note, we have some issues going on right now in the United States and worldwide. I want to talk about this in a specific order, though. What's about to happen coming? We've heard, you know, people like Kevin Samuels say that winter's coming. Winter's coming. And a lot of people think that he was just talking to females, but he was actually talking to everybody. Winter's coming for everybody. And we're not talking about the season. We're talking about a season in life, but we're not talking about the season of winter because, of course, that's coming if you're lucky enough to make it, right? What he means by that, and what's meant by that is that it's about to be some long, cold, dark-ass days. It's about to be some long, cold, dark days for a lot of people. We have right now, if you haven't been aware, my homeboy Cormen Warren, shout out to Cormen Warren. Carmen gave me the information last week about shipping containers.
Right.
Shipping containers. And how many ships are off the coast of California, Savannah, you know, New York, different ports that are waiting to be offloaded because in the process of us recovering economically, there's really no labor to offload these ships. Everything is kind of speeding back up, and we're having supply shortages. It's not really because there is no supplies. It's because that the supply chain has broken down somewhere along the chain.
The supplies are not being delivered as they should.
Supplies are not being delivered. So this is really going to impact us, and I wanted to take this show to go into it, especially going into the holiday season, because I know a lot of us get in our feelings. We feel a certain way about the holidays, and we start going in our bag, and we start just, you know, spreading love and holiday cheer all over the damn place. And we try to go into the new year broke as hell and think that taxes and all of these other things are going to save us.
Right.
Don't think that this year.
Please don't.
Look at what's going on. Read the signs. That's why we're here on the Big Mic Drop, to give you the signs.
And don't depend on a stimulus, because there's no guarantee once you start depending on it that you're going to get it. So don't look to a stimulus check. You might not get another one.
We're going to talk about that as well, because it all plays a part. So I broke this thing down into three sections in my outline. We have the social breakdown. We have the economic breakdown. And we have the government breakdown. We're going to talk about all three of those. Let's see what Big Mag say. Last count, there was 57 off California. We have about two dozen here. That's in New York. I think that oil spill off Huntington Beach was a dump off. It cost money to hold oil. Ooh, interesting. But I heard that they said that there was a anchor of a ship that busted the oil pipeline. So there's an environmental component to this as well that's happening with all of this backup and this logjam of material that's coming into the United States. For those who don't know what the United States exports, we don't export shit but ideas.
We're takers. We're not givers.
We're not givers. We're takers. But we do give our ideas to the world. We export ideas. We export technology or technological knowledge to the rest of the world. But besides that, it's not very much that we provide to the world. The world provides this to us. So it all has to get here some way, somehow or another. So why is this happening? I got a video, and it's a short video, and it explains why this is going on. And kind of put everybody, it'll give everybody a rudimentary knowledge. I'm not an economist. This gives you enough rudimentary knowledge of the subject matter that you can make an informed decision about your finances, what to hold on to, and what to spend in the retail sector this holiday season.
Right.
That's ultimately what we're going to build up to. What do you spend? What do you save? Habits have to change, or else your lifestyle is going to change drastically.
I'm curious, Mike, what determines which containers are being opened and which aren't?
Because
I was reading and it says that Home Depot and IKEA are literally chartering their own ships to move their products faster. So who's going to unload those ships if the problem is actually labor as opposed to the shipping?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe perhaps they contracted their own people to unload the ship.
Maybe.
Maybe they're, you know, maybe opting to take these ships in the smaller ports. You see what I mean?
Nike also has warned of delays all the way through next year. So if you guys are buying Nike products for your kids for Christmas, you better go ahead and purchase now. Don't wait until December.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is for y'all last-minute Christmas shoppers. This is going to be some pissed-off folks out here in these streets.
Really?
And I got my own thoughts about Christmas. I love Christmas, but what Christmas has become isn't what I remember. It's slowly but surely taking a backseat to Halloween, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
You said Halloween is second right now. What's first, Mike?
Christmas is still first right now.
Okay, gotcha.
But one more crime-filled Christmas, high suicide rate Christmas, all of that, I'm fucking with Halloween. It's almost to the point where Halloween represents less of death than Christmas. There's more death and shit happening during Christmas than Halloween. That's supposed to be the dead satanic holiday or some shit, isn't it?
Exactly.
Right. We'll talk about that later. But I do want to explain and have someone else explain kind of what's going on, the current state of supply shortages. Like I said, just so we can get a rudimentary idea of what we're talking about. This is a short 3-minute video, and this is for fair use. This is for teaching. So please don't flag my shit because I'm showing this video. So let me go on share this screen. And let's get it popping, man. Let's get it popping, and let's talk about this. All right. There we go. Can y'all hear it?
Right. Vaccination rates in the United States and around the world are high and continue to rise. As a result, economies are returning to pre-pandemic levels and capital projects are resuming. But as things normalize, we are dealing with major and persistent shortages in supply chains, shifts in customer expectations, and spikes in prices for goods and services. Assessing the current state of supply chain shortages, a new CAPS report explores supply chain challenges incited by the pandemic, where changes were most drastic, and what to expect for the future. The pandemic and a combination of disasters and shortages have contributed to depleted inventory positions across the supply chain, and since then, supply has not met demand. While retail is rebuilding merchandise levels, for example, freight is still delayed at ports and transportation capacity remains historically constrained. Prices for building materials such as steel and lumber have escalated to new heights. Structural steel is extremely costly, but construction of major buildings and warehouses is booming because of high e-commerce activity. And lumber prices have soared due to Canadian lumber tariffs and transportation-related supply shortages, and an increase in demand for home remodeling and new home construction. Meanwhile, demand for semiconductors is being driven by increased digitization of all things, including electrodomestics and industrial goods that used to be inanimate. Semiconductor lead times have gone from several weeks to several months due to shutdowns or limited capacity in manufacturing. With a shortage of chips comes a shortage of products that need them, most notably vehicles. Demand for agricultural commodities like soy oil is reaching record highs as well, causing prices to spike for goods including gasoline, diesel, crude oil, corn, copper, coffee, and others. As a result, grocery manufacturers are seeing shortages and price hikes. In terms of talent and human capital, demand for labor is rising, but many jobs remain vacant with a shortage of qualified applicants. What do the experts think of the future ahead? Interest rates are likely to increase. Lead times for major commodities will remain poor for the rest of the year. Prices will flatten but not drop. Supply and demand equilibrium will not occur until people are back in the workforce. Dive deeper into current supply chain activities and challenges on the horizon with CAPS. Assessing the current state of supply chain shortages is available to everyone in the CAPS library now.
All right. So,
Wow. That's
just a little bit of, like I say, just a quick course, just so people can catch up and understand. How, if you don't already understand, I'm not going to assume people don't understand this. I'm the only one who didn't understand it. It helped me. I'll say that. It helped me.
It's so bad, Mike, that it says that the nation's public school meal program is at a crisis point because of the shortage of laborers and deliverers. So the U.S. Agriculture Department announced a $1.5 billion bailout for them.
Right.
That's how bad it is.
Right.
$1.5 billion, that's a lot of money.
And what's funny about this, not funny, but what's peculiar about this is that we're actually the economy's picking back up. So this isn't like the economy crashing. It actually can't get its own feet up under itself. So it could still fall and take a spill because it just can't get its feet under itself.
Something else that happened over the quarantine time, a lot of people decided not to go back to their old jobs because of low wages. And a lot of people are taking on new careers. Some people actually went back to school and got online degrees and things like that. That's why a lot of these jobs don't have employees.
I finished my degree during the pandemic. I finished my degree. I started two businesses, and I also started fucking with cryptocurrency. So the need to actually go back to somewhere that I was before that's taking up 70, 80 hours a week.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. It makes sense to continue hustling the path we hustling.
Right. That's the case with a lot of people. That's why so many of these places don't have employees anymore.
Correct.
People are self-employed now.
Because you were treating people like shit in the first place. Let's just keep it a buck. You were treating people like shit in the first place, and most people were there because they had to be there. A lot of people use that government stimulus. It actually stimulated them.
Right.
It actually stimulated them.
They took the unemployment back that people were going to run back to their jobs, but people didn't run back to work like they thought that people would.
Right. Right. Can you hear me still?
I can.
Okay, I had to turn my mic down. That shit was clipping. So I want to make sure, you know, I'm not clipping. We got Deuce Almighty said the economy is going to crash. They're firing lots of people for not getting the experiment. Ah, Deuce Almighty, you brought up something very, very real. We're not going to talk about that on this platform because they'll ban us and shit. But I do have a platform coming to which we can really sit back and talk about the experiment or the Vaseline, like people like to say. We could talk about that in a more open forum. I'm not the type of person that is against people talking and saying what they feel about things. I'm really not. But for some reason, we're in this super sensitive censorship of society right now to where they're just shutting people's voices off completely. Hold on one sec. Deuce Almighty also says truckers, I heard, are striking, especially when they can't go to buildings without the jab. Right. Chloe Brock says we are transitioning to a new era. The paradigm shift. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I agree with
Flo. Absolutely. The paradigm shift has occurred. I don't know if people realize when the paradigm shift started occurring, but I'll say it started around 2012 with Trayvon Martin. I think that's really when the social paradigm started changing. It kind of culminated last year with the George Floyd riots and whatnot, and the riots that, you know, ensued all over the world as a result of that. But there is a paradigm shift. There is a changing of the guards happening right now, socially. So I want to talk about this now that we got an idea about the supply chain. I want to talk about this Facebook situation because all of this plays in. All of it plays in. Like I told you, it's broken down in three categories for me. Social breakdown, economic breakdown, governmental breakdown.
Right.
The supply chain shortage is about the economic breakdown. But let's talk about what happened with Facebook over the last week. You go ahead. Fire off.
People were going crazy. Even myself, I was looking at my phone constantly, like when is it going to be up? When is it going to be up? It was ridiculous.
Right.
But I think it has a lot to do with the whistleblower. I think in the background, they were trying to make some changes that probably wouldn't be as well recognized because when I first went back onto Facebook, the option to check your photos was gone and you couldn't see your friends list either.
Right.
They were doing some things in the background that they had to correct.
Right. Right. So I want people, raise your hand in the chat. Put the thumbs up in the chat if you know, if you're familiar with the story of the whistleblower. If you're familiar with the whistleblower story, put the thumbs up in the chat. I'm going to show y'all and I'm going to familiarize y'all with this story tonight. Like I said, this show is going to be video heavy because a lot of these things are beyond my knowledge base. I don't understand this shit. I'm not going to lie. I don't understand a lot of it. So I need to gain as much knowledge, reputable sources as I can on this And I want y'all to, you know, join in with me on that. And let's discuss it with what we know. At the end of the day, the only thing you can change is yourself. You can only apply these things to your life. Let's see. Now, I ain't heard that story. I heard a lot of hacking Facebook, though, and selling our data. Yeah. Let's check it out. Big Mac, the Fisher, Dave Murray, they already know what time it is. They got their thumbs up. Chloe Brock says a lot to take in. We about to take in some more because I want y'all to see this. Facebook stock went down yesterday as well, and Instagram, WhatsApp, all that crashed. So they, what you heard the Amber Alert. You heard Miss Amber Alert.
Right.
Mark Zuckerberg dropped from the sixth or fifth richest person to the sixth. He's sixth today. Now, when we did that yesterday, he was fifth. He's sixth today. So he's still bleeding money right now because of this whistleblower situation.
I'm in fear for her life, Mike.
It's going to be
angered a lot of power. I am, Mike. I'm sorry.
It's hard. It's going to be hard for him to get to her. I mean, with the what was it?
Got Congress involved.
The Dodd-Frank Act. I mean, they got protections for whistleblowers. They got protections. She took a bunch of documents and everything before she left. I'm going to let y'all check the story out on 60 Minutes. Like I said, I'm going to play the whole thing. It's only about 6 or 7 minutes, but I think it's worth a watch just to understand the magnitude of what's happened for those who are in the chat who haven't seen it, those who are watching who haven't seen it. Don't forget to like and share this video and subscribe to the Big Mike Drop channel. We got more content coming. It's about to get ramped up. Winter's coming, but we're going to heat up over here. V Lang in the building.
Hey.
Let's see here. Let me find this one here.
I'm almost thinking maybe she was planted at Facebook, Mike, because she left with so much information. It's like that was her main objective for being employed, was to come out with information.
I don't know. I watched a live today with her. She went to in front of Congress today, and I watched the live as well. And I don't really know. I mean, perhaps she could have been a mole.
A mole.
Yeah, she could have been a mole. But, you know, I'm kind of glad that the mole is there. Kind of glad the mole is there. I got this shadow of the microphone on my face, man. You know I'm vain. Look at that. See that?
Don't worry about it. It's fine. We can't even see you.
Oh, okay. All right. I see you. Fuck it with me. So let me do this. It's actually longer than 6 minutes, but I'm going to break it in pieces, okay?
All right.
Her name is Frances Haugen. That is a...
All right. Frances Haugen is her name. How does she manage to land a name like Frances and she young?
That Facebook has been anxious to know since last month when an anonymous former employee filed complaints with federal law enforcement. The complaints say Facebook's own research shows that it amplifies hate, misinformation, and political unrest, but the company hides what it knows. One complaint alleges that Facebook's Instagram harms teenage girls. What makes Haugen's complaints unprecedented is the trove of private Facebook research she took when she quit in May. The documents appeared first last month in the Wall Street Journal, but tonight, Frances Haugen is revealing her identity to explain why she became the Facebook whistleblower.
The story will continue in a moment.
The thing I saw at Facebook over and over again was there were conflicts of interest between what was good for the public and what was good for Facebook. And Facebook over and over again chose to optimize for its own interests, like making more money.
Frances Haugen is 37, a data scientist from Iowa, with a degree in computer engineering and a Harvard master's degree in business. For 15 years, she's worked for companies including Google and Pinterest.
I've seen a bunch of social networks, and it was substantially worse at Facebook than anything I'd seen before.
You know, someone else might have just quit and moved on. And I wonder why you take this stand.
Imagine you know what's going on inside of Facebook, and you know no one on the outside knows. I knew what my future looked like if I continued to stay inside of Facebook, which is person after person after person has tackled this inside of Facebook and ground themselves to the ground.
When and how did it occur to you to take all of these documents out of the company?
At some point in 2021, I realized, okay, I'm going to have to do this in a systemic way, and I have to get out enough that no one can question that this is real.
She secretly copied tens of thousands of pages of Facebook internal research. She says evidence shows that the company is lying to the public about making significant progress against hate, violence, and misinformation. One study she found from this year says, we estimate that we may action as little as 3 to 5% of hate and about 0.6% of violence and incitement on Facebook, despite being the best in the world at it. To quote from another one of the documents you brought out, we have evidence from a variety of sources that hate speech, divisive political speech, and misinformation on Facebook and the family of apps are affecting societies around the world.
When we live in an information environment that is full of angry, hateful, polarizing content, it erodes our civic trust, it erodes our faith in each other, it erodes our ability to want to care for each other. The version of Facebook that exists today is tearing our societies apart and causing ethnic violence around the world.
Ethnic violence, including Myanmar in 2018, when the military used Facebook to launch a genocide.
The first quarter of 2019.
Frances Haugen told us she was recruited by Facebook in 2019. She says she agreed to take the job only if she could work against misinformation because she had lost a friend to online conspiracy theories.
I never wanted anyone to feel the pain that I had felt, and I had seen how high the stakes were in terms of making sure there was high-quality information on Facebook.
At headquarters, she was assigned to Civic Integrity, which worked on risks to elections, including misinformation. But after this past election, there was a turning point.
They told us, we're dissolving Civic Integrity. Like, they basically said, oh, good, we made it through the election. There wasn't riots. We can get rid of Civic Integrity now. Fast forward a couple of months, we got the insurrection. And when they got rid of Civic Integrity, it was the moment where I was like, I don't trust that they're willing to actually invest what needs to be invested to keep Facebook from being dangerous.
Facebook says the work of Civic Integrity was distributed to other units. Haugen told us the root of Facebook's problem is in a change that it made in 2018 to its algorithms, the programming that decides what you see on your Facebook newsfeed.
So, you know, you have...
Let's stop right there for a second. Let's talk about this algorithm. As a YouTuber, I'm a slave to the algorithm. We're all slaves to the algorithm. But she said something that was pretty... that stuck out to me. And she talked about our inability to perform our civic duties to the next person due to the confusion and whatnot that's going on social media and Facebook in particular, the misinformation, the disinformation. I even heard her mention that as soon as the election was over, they took that off of the priority list. How many of you out there, I'm going to take this off for one moment. How many of you out there have found yourselves being flagged, put in Facebook jail over things that weren't necessarily violations of community standards? I want to see a raise of hands in the chat if you've been taken off.
One time for me, I got a flag once.
You say you got a what? You got flagged once?
Once I was flagged.
Hey, Deuce Almighty, he put about 10 of them up there. He said yes. Yeah, so I'm going to be honest. I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't doing more targeting of people based off of other factors, if you understand what I'm saying, if you catch my drift.
Hmm.
Other factors. So I got a question tonight. Is Facebook helpful or harmful to society?
Both.
I'm going to open the phone lines up, 515-605-9708. I want to hear your thoughts on this. Is Facebook harmful to society? And then we're gonna finish this. It's a double-edged sword. I wouldn't be with my wife if it weren't for Facebook.
See, so it blessed you.
It blessed me. But a lot of people are getting their lives destroyed on social media at the same time.
That's
true. So,
and I can imagine how teenagers feel, Mike, because sometimes I look at Instagram and Facebook, and I'm a fully grown woman, and I'm looking at all these celebrities, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I need to go get a tummy tuck. Oh, I need to change this. I need to change that. So I can imagine how elementary school and middle schoolers are feeling when they're on Facebook.
Absolutely. Chloe Brock.
The ones that are being body shamed and bullied.
Chloe says, we have a choice with how we use it, what we post and what
That's
we
right.
watch, free will. And I'm going to use mine to bully all the way to the end. All the way to the
don't
end.
Bully.
Huh?
This is the bully. Don't be a bully.
This is the bully podcast. Yeah. All the way to the end. I'm using it as offensively as possible. I'm just playing. I'm just kidding.
We know you are.
I'm just kidding. But call in 515-605-9708. Man, we got the Cash App popping tonight. We got the videos popping tonight. What are some of your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on what she said, Ronnie?
I agree with Chloe a lot as to what she's saying. People have a choice. I'm glad someone came and spoke up that children are being affected. But you also have to think about parents should also be monitoring what their children are doing. I mean, I have a teenage daughter. I know we can't know everything that they're doing. But when she's talking about 8-year-olds and 11-year-olds that are on Facebook, the parents should have some kind of knowledge. Take away devices. Monitor the times that these devices are in use. I mean, some of the responsibility doesn't – it all shouldn't fall on Mark Zuckerberg.
What happens when the parent is being raised by Facebook?
That's true. That happens a lot.
Yo, we got to call
them. No one person is to blame.
Exactly. A lot of times the parents got their damn nose in social media. They can't pay attention to what the kids are doing. A lot of times they're sharing
door closed and ratchet, the kids are just raising themselves.
Right. And a lot of times they share ratchet shit with their kids. People post ratchet shit with that their kids are doing on there. So it's out of control. It's out of control. But we got 903 on the line. 903, you on
hey,
the big mic drop.
Man, it's Deuce.
Deuce, what's popping, man? We got Deuce in the building. What's happening, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? I wanted to give a call in about this. So I'm going to speak from being a former communications professor. So I taught for 5 years, and one of the subjects that I talked about was mass communications and social media and stuff like that. So I'm going to give a thought from this perspective. That, you know, these social media sites are great at allowing us to connect with people we might otherwise not connect with. You know, today, as in no other time of society, could you as a regular person, like, reach out to your favorite, you know, music artist or talk directly to, you know, some dude in the NBA or even reach out to your senator in the way that we can do now, you know. So there is a pro to that type of access. You also have access to, you know, back in the day, we about the same age, I guess, and, you know, you had to have a Rolodex of people's phone numbers to remember who they were, and you had to call
right.
them and stuff like this. Nowadays, you could just, you know. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just saying the black book. Everybody
right,
had a
right,
black
right,
book
right,
back
right.
in
the... Right, and then I even have a family member who she was adopted at birth, and she found a lot of her original family members because of Facebook, where she was able to reach out and connect through her networks of people. So there are some, you know, I think there's some good stuff about Facebook. I personally, you know, I do talk to people about business and stuff like that who I just generally wouldn't like to give my number to, whatever the case. but then you got the bad side. So I'm older. I grew up, and I remember when Facebook was, you had to have the, you know, you only had to be in the college, a college student to get on Facebook. You had to have that EDU at the end of your address. And so
right.
I knew about it from way back then. You know what I'm saying? We probably grew up on the same age of MySpace and Black Planet and all that. So we kind of
right.
look at it that way. I didn't really like Facebook then because, you know, we was on MySpace and all that. So I left it alone for about a decade
right.
and then came back to it. What I see, though, is so there's two parts to it. Is Facebook bad? I say no tool is as bad as its intended use. So a toilet can be good when you're using it to flush stuff down the toilet. It can be bad if you're trying to stop somebody from breathing by putting their head in the toilet. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
When people put a lot of – when they put up their information all on social media, that could be positive. It could be negative. You know, you putting out, you know, I put pictures and stuff out there, and I'm cool with that because if somebody show up at my door, they're going to see stuff I don't post. And so they're going to have to deal with them consequences.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm feeling you.
But, you know, on the gym now, I'm going to talk a little broader. You know, we look at the media, who controls these large platforms. Like you just said, you having your show on this platform, you can't talk about certain subjects because, you know, they're going to, you know, the computer's going to shut it down and take you out. And that's the unfairness of it. So is Facebook good when they can censor the information that you provide by claiming it to be misinformation just because it doesn't fit a particular narrative? Let's be honest. It, you know, a lot of these companies are spending a lot of money to run their ads on social media platforms, and so they don't want stuff out there that's going to essentially cause people to not agree with whatever ads they're talking about. You see what I'm saying? That's why the NBA ain't going to let you go to an NBA and start talking against the NBA. It doesn't make no sense. They're not going to do it. So this is the same thing I see with Facebook. You know, I ain't going to get too deep into it because it's y'all platform to talk about it. But that's what I see. The people who are in charge of these things, you know, you can look at their – you know, I'm not going to say political views, but I'll say their ideologies about the world and society, you know, what their ideal, I don't know, lifestyles are and things of that nature. And you can see that they will definitely, you know, do stuff in their best interest. You know, the fact that Facebook, people think that Facebook is very altruistic, not understanding that it is a, Facebook itself has more members than what two of the largest continents on this planet, I think they said. So there are more people on Facebook than there are in America and Canada combined and all this other stuff. Come on, man. They're making money for a reason, and they're doing it at the behest of us giving, you know, freely, giving away our information. You know, and I think I put in the chat that I heard it was a lot of hackers on Twitter. They was talking about people hacking. I actually got it, and I posted it on my Instagram page. They said it was people hacking the Facebook, and they were erasing code, which is why it took so long for them to find it and put it back up, because code was literally getting cut off, you know. So
my mom's Facebook got hacked.
It got hacked, though. Yeah, well, that's happened.
Yeah, it got hacked, man.
Before,
so,
you know. But it's
so
just,
your
just very interesting.
Money is key.
I ain't here. Can you repeat that?
Hey, I said if she in your inbox asking for money, it's me.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Hey,
yeah, man.
But no,
so
one more question.
I ain't gonna hold
one
the time.
One more question. I like where you're going, man. Hold with me for one moment, cause I like where you're going. Holding back on me, dude. You seem to be holding back.
I don't want to because I don't want to say stuff and then it start to mess your platform down. And you know what I'm saying? I don't want to take nobody's platform away because I could get into some deep stuff. I try to be very cautious because I'm not always on my own platform to do stuff and say things.
Write my email down. Yeah, I'm going to put it on the bottom of the screen.
Okay.
It's right there on the bottom.
Okay. Let me write that down. Yeah, I checked your Instagram page. It said it was blocked off or whatever.
My Instagram is blocked.
One that you got in there. It said it wasn't enough of
the big
one that's in the... In the chat at the bottom, I guess.
Okay, let me double check on that. Let me double check on that.
And then the other thing is, because of the kind of business I do, I don't want to be saying too much. Can't nobody give me no money. You know what I'm talking about? So.
Right. Nah, I feel you, man. I appreciate you for calling too, brother. Thank you.
I'm off the phone, man. I'll let you get back to it.
All right, man. Email me though. All right, that was Deuce in the building. That's interesting. The brother studied mass communications, man. I would definitely like to tap into more of what he's talking about. But perhaps that's going to be something we say for the other platform. I'm still teasing.
Yes.
I'm still teasing. But we got some shit coming for y'all, man. I promise. So, let's do y'all want to hear a little bit more of what she had to say? Or did you get pretty much the basic idea of what she was trying to say and what she was whistleblowing on? She's been out talking a lot, man. It's hours and hours and hours of conversation with this woman. Like I say, I don't really want to tie you down with the video, the whole video. I just want you to kind of understand what's going on. We're setting up a framework for some doom and gloom, and this is part of it. Go ahead, Ronnie.
I'm curious as to her motives, because she just came out of nowhere. I mean, she had very good points, but why does this concern her as much as it does?
So she probably pissed somebody off. Somebody pissed her off. Yeah.
Because she's part of the problem as well. She was there long enough to have said something before now. So what triggered her?
What killed me, though, is the 2018 Myanmar Republic genocide that was facilitated by Facebook, so they say. And then she joined the company in 2019.
Right.
Did she
and
not
it's
do
2021.
Right. Did she not
it's
do any background information on that? Did she not, you know, do her research on the company? I seriously doubt it, because people like that tend to be steeped in research.
Right. Something didn't go her way and she's mad with somebody.
Right. Right. But she goddamn wreaking havoc on their ass now, goddamn.
Backing up her information with actual data and paperwork, so it can't be disputed what she's saying.
Right.
But what's your ulterior motive for coming forward with this?
Well, hold on.
What are you gaining by doing this?
Well, Big Mag says she said a friend, she had a friend that was a victim of some online shite. That's the English version of shit.
That may have happened before she even went to work for Facebook.
It may have. I don't know. But I'm glad she's coming out.
I don't believe her.
I believe her. She took tens of thousands of pages of documents.
No, I believe what she's saying happened, but I don't believe it's because of a friend that she's no, this is not for retribution because of something that happened to a friend. This is something personal that brought her all the way to Congress. Who takes this kind of stuff all the way to Congress unless their child was affected?
You don't take nothing to Congress. You say enough shit out in public and Congress finna call
right.
you. They finna subpoena you
right.
to come to Congress. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
You know, she said something that got somebody's attention, and they went on and sent out the subpoena, and she had to show up. You can't obstruct Congress unless you're Donald Trump. By the way, I've asked this question before. Give this man his damn Twitter back.
I wish they would.
Give him his Twitter back, man. I need some excitement, man.
I want to laugh a little bit before I go to bed at night.
Big Mac.
Got me laughing.
Big Mag said, I think she's a mole, like you said. I think she was sent by some other company to do that. You know. He said, that's why they usually make people sign NDAs. But I don't know if being a whistleblower in a corporate situation would be protected by an NDA, because then I believe that the Dodd-Frank Act, the Whistleblower Act, is going to supersede any NDA that you sign.
How do you steal tens of thousands of documents? How do you do that? Was she running off photostatic copies and putting them in her briefcase at night? How do you get so much information unless you were put there to get that information? Seems like she started working on that from the day she walked through the door.
To get tens of thousands, you don't decide. You don't put in your two-week notice, and then next thing you know, you're downloading tens of thousands of pages of documents. No, you're right.
Right. You came there trying to get that information.
Right. You're right. Cole Brock said, it makes us have to pay more attention to how we and our children use social media. Oh,
that's
yeah.
A fact.
I'm using it as a weapon from here on out. I ain't even mean that one. I meant this one. I guess Instagram said it won't, but the NDA is supposed to suppress
that.
So Deuce Almighty is saying it won't, but the NDA is supposed to suppress that. She does have the complexion for the protection, though. Absolutely. I like that, the complexion for the protection. We're going there tonight. We're going there tonight. So we're about an hour in. Wow. It didn't even seem like it's been an hour. But I do want to talk about the last part. And this is just framing this up for further conversations, because then we're just going to go into it. I want to talk about the government breakdown. The debt ceiling. What do you know about the debt ceiling? Anybody in the comments, feel free to comment or call in to let us know what you know about the debt ceiling. What do you know about the debt ceiling and what that means? Want to hear it? Here we go. I got a video. Stop sharing this one. Whistleblower hole gone. Debt ceiling next. I didn't mean to call her a hoe. I don't know her proclivities. All right. Once again, another 3-minute video. Very, very insightful.
The federal.
Very educational. Like I say, that's what I'm striving for in this. So let's share this. We're going to do this, and we're going to conclude the show after we do this and talk about this, okay? But I do want people to watch this. And I'm going to fill up the whole screen. I'm going to take us off for a moment while this rock out, Ronnie, okay?
All right, that sounds good.
Debt ceiling. It's a looming catastrophe. It's a bargaining lever. It's a crisis averted. It seems like a never-ending cycle. So what is the federal debt ceiling anyway, and why should you care about it? Let's start with how it works. The government spends more money than it takes in. It's done this off and on since the country was founded, but now it's doing it more than ever. In each of the past 4 years, it has spent over $1 trillion more than it took in. In February of this year, it is projected to collect about $215 billion in revenues and pay out $460 billion. The government borrows to make up the difference by selling bonds to investors around the world. Nearly half of that debt is now held by foreigners, much of it by Japan and China. Each month that the government spends more than it brings in, that is, each month that the government runs a deficit, it has to borrow. The sum of all this borrowing is the federal debt. It's been growing, both in dollars and measured against the size of the economy. Until World War I, Congress had to vote each time the Treasury needed to borrow money. To give the Treasury more flexibility, Congress switched to setting a ceiling on the debt in 1917. When the debt bumps up against that limit, Congress, often with a lot of shouting and bargaining, votes to lift the ceiling. And that is where we are now. The government hit the $16.4 trillion federal debt ceiling on December 31st, so Congress suspended the ceiling, allowing the Treasury to borrow what it needs, but only through May 19th. Well, you have to understand, the debt ceiling is a strange thing. First, Congress votes to spend money the government doesn't have. Then it votes a second time to allow Treasury to borrow that money so it can spend. Refusing to raise the debt ceiling does not cut spending. It's like refusing to pay a credit card bill for stuff you've already bought. But because failure to raise the debt limit could be so devastating, Congress often does use it to force the president to do things he's reluctant to do. Nobody really knows. The Treasury hasn't been in precisely this position before. But here are some rough guesses. When the Treasury faced similar circumstances back in 2011, it contemplated paying as many bills as it could each day with the cash it had on hand, delaying payment on the rest. Bills would be paid basically in the order in which they arrived. The longer the delay in raising the debt ceiling, the more bills would pile up. Physicians who rely on Medicare payments to make payroll, seniors who pay rent with Social Security benefits, or soldiers waiting for paychecks would be forced to make do without their money for some time. Another option would be for the Treasury to prioritize payments, choose some bills to pay on time and others to delay. But it's unclear whether this is legal or logistically possible, given the volume of bills the Treasury receives each day. Nor is it clear whether the Treasury could or would pay interest on the national debt before paying everyone else. Any delays in paying interest would endanger the government's credit rating and shake confidence around the world in the ability of the U.S. government to manage its finances. That could lead investors to demand higher interest rates for U.S. Treasury bonds, which would cost American taxpayers billions of dollars over time. Those are the stakes. And as the debt continues to rise, Washington faces a decision. Will it come to an agreement on taxes and spending? Will it actually do something to slow the buildup of debt? Or will the debt ceiling come back into the headlines, and with it, the accompanying fear that the U.S. government won't be able to pay its bills?
All right. All right, all right, all right. Yo, what's the thing about that?
We're going to end up a third world country if we keep borrowing money. And if we don't have any money, how are they able to keep giving stimulus checks?
They borrowing. It's debt.
But why do we borrow just, why are they borrowing just to give it away? Shouldn't they be not borrowing any more money unnecessarily?
Look, it's the American way. What we're doing right now, if America defaults, our credit rating is shit, right? But this is the American way. Buying a bunch of shit that you can't afford for real on credit, paying for it later. You fucking around and slip, America gonna be like the average American with a 520 credit score out this motherfucker.
We're gonna be a third world country in 100 or 200 years if we keep up the good work.
Oh, yeah, I don't even give it that long. I don't even give it that long. But right now, Joe Biden cannot get the debt ceiling raised. Congress is holding him up on that.
He also wants to raise it, or Congress wants to raise it?
No, he wants to raise it. The Democrats want to raise it.
Okay,
and Congress, the Republicans are staging a pretty good offensive against blocking it. They're blocking it, and they're using
I'm
that
a Democrat,
as a tool.
But I gotta agree with Republicans on this. We don't need more debt.
I'm an independent at this point in time in my life. I'm going with whoever showing me the money at this point in time in my life.
That's fair enough.
To be honest, when it comes to all these different little social programs and stuff like that, I'm like my man right here.
Now come on in the house and say bye to Charlene and the kids.
Fuck them kids.
Fuck the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck the kids. Fuck the kids. For real. Dead serious.
It's a sad situation in America.
I'm just playing, man. I'm just kidding, man. I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I do this. This is part of the government breakdown. Now, let's just take Democrats for instance. The Democrats came in with all of these big lofty ideas about what the fuck they're going to do and how they're going to do this and how they're going to do that and all this bullshit. And they really haven't gotten anything done at this point in time. No George Floyd Policing Act. Uh-oh, we got some more on it. We got some more callers on the line. 251, we got you in the building. Who we got?
Hey, y'all, this is Chloe.
Chloe, what's poppin'? We got Chloe in the building.
Hey. What's up, girl?
Hey, what's happening, Chloe?
Hey, I'm good. How are y'all doing? I've been in the store listening to y'all and commenting
a
lot.
Man.
And so I figured I'd call in.
Yeah, what's
it's
on your mind?
To hear from you.
It's so good to hear from y'all. I love you guys, and I respect what you're doing, Mike. I love you. I know you try to be the bad boy. I get it. I mean, we got to have all of it. All right, but...
Hey,
the whistleblower. I know y'all are talking about.
I say I love you too. I love you too, Chloe.
I know. I appreciate you so much. But I know y'all are talking about more of the economic part, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about the whistleblower. You know, Ronnie, I've never called you Ronnie. You know, you were talking about her motives. And I know for real. And her motives. And then, Mike, you talked about the shift happening around 2012 and things like that. And so, you know, to me, like, yeah, worrying about some things, even though it makes, you know, we do want to understand motives, but at the same time, she presented us with information, and we can use our discernment, and then we make a choice on what we're going to do. So really, no matter why, even though the why does matter, but it doesn't really matter, in my opinion, because really it's what am I going to do with that information? What am I going to believe? What am I not going to believe? How am I going to protect our children? What can we do differently? How can I protect, you know, like I'm choosing to use social media for as positive of things as I possibly can because there is so much ugliness out there.
Right. Absolutely. That's a fact, Chloe. That's a fact.
Because we're transitioning, so I feel like it's all distraction. Like I feel like the economy, everything that's going on, none of it really makes any sense. So it's going to drive us crazy trying to figure it out.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right.
So finding that peace inside myself and starting it, it is more of a grassroots type of movement that we truly have to do.
Right.
That's what we're in the building trying to start, Chloe. Like I said, I know it come across kind of harsh from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm the type, if I can't get to you nicely, man, I'd just rather shake the shit out of you and slap you. You know,
I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. I appreciate it. Hey, look, each one of us have to do what we're called to do. And I know that that's what you're doing. Whatever. I know that's what you're doing. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And I was, you know.
I appreciate you.
I just wanted to say that. Yeah, we have some big stuff happening. We have some great things that we can do. We can shift it. We have to shift the situation because there's a lot of ugliness. There's some darkness coming. There's no doubt. You know, there are people who think it's the end of the world and, you know, all the, you know, all kinds of stuff people can think all day long, but really all we can do is in the meantime, you know, what are we going to do with it?
Right. Hey, we got your sister. We got your sister on the line, too, Chloe. Diane in the building.
Oh, my gosh.
Say hello, Chloe,
her.
Mike, and Ronnie. Hey, Diane.
So, Chloe, I just want to ask you, do you think Facebook is forever? Because we've all gotten so used to it over the last several years. Or do you think it's going to come to a halt eventually?
Nothing is forever. Nothing. Absolutely nothing is forever. Nothing on this earth. I mean, nothing is forever. Yeah. Now, when is it going to crash?
Absolutely.
What's going to happen with Mark Zuckerberg? I mean, he's going to be a name that's going to be in the past. I mean, he's not going to be much longer, I don't think.
Yeah, why is his eyes always red? You ever notice his eyes always be red, like he's loaded?
I think giants are falling. Look, I think giants are falling.
Man, Chloe, I appreciate you. I got a couple more callers on the line, but I appreciate you for calling in.
I just wanted to call in. All right, bye, y'all.
Yeah, we love you.
Love you.
We love you. Chloe in the building.
Mike, do you think it's going to disappear and go into obscurity like MySpace did?
Oh, absolutely.
Happened to Facebook in the future?
Absolutely. We got 917 in the building, and I also got 903 back on the line. 917, you go first. Who we got?
What's going on, Mike? It's your boy, Big Mag.
Big Mag in the building. What's popping, homie?
Hey, everybody. What's going on? You know, there's something I've been paying attention to for a while with the spending that's going on with this country. I don't think it's sustainable on any degree, on any level. You know, we got to look at history. Every country who's been through these type of situations have gone through periods of overinflation, dramatic overinflation, just destructive economies. We can't keep printing money and putting debt back on it. Like, when are we going to wake up to this, man? You know, I remember years ago, it was about 20, 30 years, something like that, like 30 years ago, man, the first time I saw it in my life, Zambia, they had so much hyperinflation. I'm not saying with Zambia, but they had so much hyperinflation that they was using money to make baskets. And then you saw it in South America, Venezuela, Argentina, you know, in my late 20s. I think it was my late 20s. Argentina went through it, the hyperinflation. This is what we got to look at. These politicians, our American politicians, they're privileged to all type of economical and environmental impact reports. They are you know, you can't persecute them for insider trading and all this other stuff. So I say that to say this. Everyone in the know, it's a money grab. Grabbing their money, but what they're doing, they're getting resources. So you don't need money to survive if you have resources. Like I tell anybody, they think I'm fucking crazy. If you got your bug out location somewhere on the other side of the world, right?
Right.
They don't give a fuck that they paid $10 billion for an airplane because all they're going to use is one time. But they have the survivability of making that one airplane trip to their location. I don't remember if people remember that that this is about 20 years ago, I think, or 15, whatever. But the documentary Blue Gold, when they were talking about the water crisis in the world, how we, you know, the water is a problem, everything going on. But they also mentioned something in that documentary that really people don't pay attention to. When George Bush was leaving office, he sent his daughter, Jenna Bush, to South America and Paraguay to negotiate on behalf of 11 families to buy land that was in the middle of a jungle. Paraguay laughed at him, giving it to him so cheap, wondering why, what the hell do they want with inaccessible land in the middle of a jungle? But these documentarians who were creating the ones who created the documentary with information from these hydrologists realized that land was sitting on the biggest aquifer in the world, on the Amazon River Basin. The biggest aquifer in the world. They're buying access to land to get fresh water when the world is running out of water. Now, me, I am a veteran. I'm an Army veteran. My MOS was NBC, Nuclear Biological Chemical Operations Specialist. And I got a lot to say about this 19 here. We're going to talk on the back channel, Mike. But anyway,
yeah,
one of the few protections you have from the event, clear biological and chemical warfare, is self-contained environments. That's why they buy these shelters and buried in the earth out in Arizona and other parts of the world. You know,
right.
But one of the things that's most important is the natural canopy of a rainforest and a jungle, an environment inside that has an overhead canopy, because trees make what? Oxygen.
Oxygen.
They purify the air from what? Contaminations and pollutants. It's teeming with game. You got water. You have a discrete location. I mean, you know, I can put my tin hat on with a lot of stuff, but they don't care about what's happening with the economy. The thing is to keep us looking the other way with the shell game. You see what I'm saying? Keep looking the other way. And in the meantime, exactly. People are going to stop buying beans. They're going to stop buying bullets. They're going to stop buying land. They're going to keep their money in the banks and all this other stuff.
And that's what you're going to lose. But that's what you're going to lose is keeping it in the bank.
Right.
This is what I'm saying.
You're going to lose your money.
This is what I'm saying. But people, you know, all these issues they give us to argue and fuss about. But what we're not thinking about is our grandkids. We're not thinking about, I'm listening.
Now, come on in the house and say bye to Charlene and the kids.
Fuck them kids.
Fuck the kids?
Fuck the kids.
Listen, man, I got a 5-year-old, and I'm already thinking about his grandkids, man. You know, like, it's going to be a bad world, like you were saying. 100 years, we ain't going to be here.
Yeah, that's why we living like this. And I don't really mean fuck the kids, y'all, for those of you who super sensitive out here. All I'm saying is that's how we act, bro. That's
right,
why I picked
right.
that clip, is that's how we act, man.
Yeah.
It's like nothing matters but the right now. I got 903 on the line with us, Rick. You know I'm gonna keep you on with me, Big Mag. I gotta keep you on.
I'm gonna drop down. Yeah, I'm gonna drop down because I got to go to work. So I'm gonna watch in the background.
All right, man. Hit me up on the back channel, man. We need to talk.
All right, got you. All right.
Big Mag, Patricia in the house. We got 903 in the building.
Yeah, man. Let's do some good.
Deuce, what's popping? We got Deuce back in the building. What's up?
Yeah, man, I was talking about, I like what the gentleman that was right before me was talking about, because he got a lot of information about, you know, just strategy in the large spaces. I tend to think of that stuff, too, because, like you said, man, people think you're kind of wild when you just start talking about this, but I think I'm a thinker, man. You know, I use my brain. I'm going to be honest, I kind of hope that these billionaires and super trillionaires start to fly into the other planets so they can get off this country and start, and, you know, and that way we can kind of maybe survive a little bit longer. I don't know if you know, Bill Gates, during this shutdowns and stuff, he ended up being the largest farmland owner in America.
Did you know about that?
Bill Gates?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yep, right as we were getting back to trying to go to this grocery store, he's out here buying all the farmland, so he owns the most amount of farmland in America single-handedly.
Now, so I got a question about Bill Gates. Hold on, dude. I know it's a little bit of a delay. Got a question about Bill Gates. Why is Bill Gates so interested in seeing the destruction of humanity? And I'm going to flash something on the screen. Are you watching me right now?
Yeah, I got it on mute, though.
I'm going to flash something on the screen. What you know about this, man? You know what I'm holding up here?
No, let me see. Look a little. No, I can't tell. It's kind of blurry.
Oh, sorry about that. Behold a Pale Horse.
Oh, Pale Horse.
It talks about
I heard about it. Yeah.
Old school book.
I know about that from way back, probably about 10, 15 years ago. Somebody told me about it.
I read it back in the 90s, man, and people thought I was crazy as hell. Like, people didn't get the Illuminati shit until they thought Jay-Z was in the Illuminati. But I had been on this shit since, like, the 90s. You see what I'm saying? But go ahead with what you're saying. But, yeah.
Well, I was going to say that even back in the early 2000s, there was videos, and it might still be on YouTube. I doubt it now because of who controls YouTube. But there were videos of Mr. Gates in, like, national conferences talking about how the world is overpopulated and there's too many people and stuff like that, numerous amounts of times. So people have said that he's into that, you know, that eugenics and all that type of stuff. I think that when you tie that into him owning all this farmland, and obviously when you own everybody got to eat. So if you can control the crops and how the crops and resources of that nature get dispersed or whatever magnitude, that's a little scary to me, you know, as the average Joe out here. And he's high enough, you know, connected, not politically, but with his money, he's high enough connected that he can actually make decisions that people like you and I are going to be impacted by but can't never really control nothing about. So that's one of those big things. I'm similar to that guy that was just on the phone before me, man. I got a child, too, and it just boggles my mind what I can do. So I just get into mode. And that's what I was saying, because I work in the government contracting space. I do government contracting. So as far as the debt, I'm going to be honest. I kind of don't be caring because some of that money that they be paying off and stuff, I'm getting it. So I'm getting some of it.
You're with it. Right. You're getting it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with
it. Yeah, because at the end of the day, man, I personally cannot take it as throw it as a negative. It's like, man, well, if they change the water flow from over here to the left to over here to the right, and I'm thirsty, why am I going to keep complaining about the water on the left when I can find my way to the right? So I just got to find my way to get to the water because I got to take care of stuff. I got to take care of people. So I understand where people coming from with the debt, but to be honest, man, this country's been in debt longer than anybody on this planet been alive, and it ain't going to change. And I don't know. I took them classes, micro and macroeconomics, but I really just don't understand it enough to really feel like I can make any contribution of significance to it. I'm just like, man, let me just get the money I can and do what I can do. Because if you know how to multiply your money, then worrying about it going up, you know, 7% or whatever the case, may not be so bad if you can multiply it 40 times before the end of the night. You know what I'm saying? I just try to look at it that way, you know.
Well, my motto is this, man. I'm a veteran myself. My motto is this: improvise, adapt, overcome. That's
Yo,
any
Marine,
situation.
Man.
I went to the Young Marines. I was in the Air Force.
He always said that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
improvise, adapt, and overcome. Yep.
Improvise, adapt, and overcome. I'm going to be honest. If you're black and you grew up in the United States, especially in the South or even the urban North, you know what I'm saying? In urban areas or even in rural areas, you had to kind of develop that mentality. That's why we're such good candidates for the military. It's an easy transition. It's an easy transition. It's a very easy transition. Hey, a lot of us come in with real kill experience too.
Right. That does make a lot of sense because if you went on the streets and you went some impoverished conditions, you probably already adjusted to hearing gunshots and chaos and calamity, and they just try to instill that in you to a certain degree. I don't necessarily support any of that type of stuff, but I do understand it from that type of standpoint where, you know, it's sad. It's unfortunate, though. You know, my brother-in-law, he's in the Army now, and he got one of them MOSs where you just know that if a war break out, you got to handle a gun because you ain't got no real job.
Right.
I'm telling him, I said, man, what you going to do, man? You got to get out of there.
Hey, man, a lot of infantry dudes come back and become mercenaries and hitmen because that's what they teach you to do when you're in there handling weapons.
Right.
You could be a police officer or something like that, but a lot of them dudes come back and really go some underground, the Expendables type of shit. They just get with groups of mercenaries and go do shit. Make money.
I understand, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate you, man. You got V Lang in the building. Vance, call in. Hey, but I got my cousin in there. I don't have the way to like hit the link right now. That's the problem. But I appreciate you for calling back, Big Deuce. Man, like I said, I'm gonna get your email. I want to link up with you on the back channel as well, man. I feel like me, you, and Big Mag the Fisherman, we can sit back and chop some things up, man. Y'all brothers seem like minded, and that's what we're looking for. Oh, he gone. But you hear me on the thing, is what I'm saying on that. So hit me back. Appreciate you, man. Big dude. Here's the deal. Vance, give me a call, 515-605-9708. I'd like to hear your opinions on this as well. And we're getting up to about, 19 in the chat right now, man. Hey, check it out. Don't forget to hit like, share, and subscribe on this video. Like, share, and subscribe on this video. Now, we went to a little deeper level, and I'm glad we went there, and I was prepared to go there. I held up the book, Behold a Pale Horse, is written by William H. Cooper. Y'all pick the book up, William Cooper. Y'all pick the book up, Behold a Pale Horse. It talks about a lot of these things that's happening, the economic shock testing due to supply shortages and whatnot. It talks about this. It talks about how to handle this. You can't do it by spending all your damn money.
That's a fact.
You can't do it without spending all your money. We got Sarita Sampson in the building. Hello. What's up? What's up? Hello, y'all.
Hello, Sarita.
All right. Yo, we got 980 in the building. I think this is V-Lang in the building. Yo, you on a big mic drop? This is V-Lang.
What up, cuz?
Ladies and gentlemen, V-Lang in the building. What's poppin', cuzzo?
Man, I can't
How you
call
doing?
It. Rolling through these streets of Gotham City.
What it look like up that way?
It's still crazy.
With the supply shortage.
Supply shortage of what?
Supply shortages of anything. I mean,
we
right
got
now,
everything we need up here, Mike.
Y'all got everything y'all need
I
up there?
I in New York City. That's why I say of what?
Hey. Like I say, I be careful with that. I'm in Atlanta, and I know how the last rush went on shit.
Right. Especially toilet tissue,
all that stuff, man. Look, man, just stock up. That's all I want my folks to do out here, man. Y'all just stock up, man. Hey, look, stop going to the shooting range with your bullets. I'm going to be honest. That irks me. I see all these people posting lives in the shooting range, just blowing up bullets, just shooting up ammunition.
We need to save
As
that,
if
right?
they don't remember what it looked like during COVID.
Right.
I don't think people think fat meat is greasy, bro. To use old school term. But what else on your mind, cuz? Talk to us.
Man, like I said, every time I call you, I usually be rolling somewhere on 57th Street. Just rolled by the Tiffany looking at the big-ass Jay-Z and Beyonce ad for Tiffany.
Isn't that sickening?
Two corners.
Isn't that sickening, though? Isn't that sickening? Jay-Z and Beyonce with the Tiffany. with the Tiffany ads. I think that's gross. I honestly, I don't like it. I didn't like the diamond shit. I didn't like the way she tried to act like she didn't know where the diamond came from. You Beyonce, you a billionaire. There's no reason you should be going in blind with no research. You're supposed to have a whole team researching shit like that, especially when it comes to your brand. Wearing that diamond, fuck they brand up, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
And not even that, man. Like, I was watching something on Hulu the other day, and they running the commercial during the Hulu, and I'm like, who are you trying to sell this to? Who are you trying to sell Tiffany to?
The only thing I watch on Hulu,
Ferrari,
and
you don't ever see no Maserati commercial, no Ferrari commercial, whatever, because it's a brand. But why y'all got Jay-Z and Beyonce selling those tickets?
Right. Because they know we going to buy it. We'll go into debt for that, man. And I'm going to be honest, man. What's scaring me about the whole way this shit's being set up, man, is that, you know, going into the holiday season, they know that we big retail people, you know, we're big consumers,
bro.
Black people, you know, people going to get their kids something for Christmas, whether they got to sell ass or whatever they got to do, totally dehumanize themselves or do some criminal shit just to buy Christmas gifts. And they take it all and they basically just give it to, you know, non-black people. Tiffany's ain't the black folks.
Right.
So I think it's a danger in these stars and celebrities selling this stuff and advertising this stuff and taking the money to advertise and endorse this stuff. I'm glad you brought that up.
And that's basically what who looks into stuff like that before they get involved? Like you, Mike, she's a billionaire. She should have looked more into it.
Well, Beyonce mama, obviously not her. That's how she talked to me. Them lips be moving, bro. She be chewing that hamburger when she talked. That invisible hamburger.
I'm like her mother. I'm not a big Beyonce fan. I have nothing against her, but I love her mother.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. What I know about her, I don't like. The way she talked to
her. Yeah, Beyonce.
The mother. The way she talked about her new husband. Yeah, I ain't like that. Yeah, the way they sat back and talked about each other, the way she talked about that dude, man, like he wasn't there. Man, fuck her. I walk out. I promise you, I walk out and end this shit. You know what I do?
Take your little bow tie, get your shit, and get the fuck out of my office. Get the fuck out.
That's what I do.
Leave Miss Tina alone.
Yeah, yeah. Miss Tina needs to shut up because obviously people are woker than she thinks. We look in the shit.
You're going to get the beehive after you, Mike.
My wife is the president.
Of the beehive?
Oh, the beehive. All the way open.
I love Amber, but that's one strike against Amber.
The beehive. Oh, yeah.
Being a member of the beehive.
Oh, yeah, beehive. Notice we didn't say T-high.
But that's why I be tripping
on. Go ahead, Kurt.
That's why you're tripping though, because like I said, they gonna you know, sell you Beyonce and Jay-Z and the Tiffany ad on Hulu all day. And you know, you ain't got that Tiffany money. You see Jay-Z and Beyonce doing it. And you like, oh yeah, I could do it too. Like, no, you can't.
Oh, yeah,
and they're most definitely targeting black people because they're showing that commercial doing BMF and Raising Canaan, and they know those are black shows. So.
Oh yeah, they telling you to go sell drugs to get this shit on a subconscious level.
And bro, that's why I can't really try to buy into like trying to watch BMF. I didn't watch Power. I didn't watch the second Raising Canaan basically because it was shot in Jamaica, Queens, whatever. And then I'm like, damn, now on the back of this, you got another show about another drug dealer family from New York. Basically, the true story of the other story you're telling over here, y'all basically keep writing the same story over again now. So now every story that's a backtrack got to be a story about how the drug dealers came off.
Yeah, it's all drug dealer shit. Hey, we got another call on the line. Hold on one sec, cuz. We got 251 in the building. 251, who we got?
Yeah, what's happening, Mike? This son, what's going on with y'all, man?
Man, we got Sean in the motherfucking building. What's popping, homie?
I know, man. Just finally got a chance to actually sit back and listen to the show for a good little minute today, man. So,
you know, what you think so far, man? Just be honest with us.
I work for a government contractor, man, and everything that's happening right now is real, man. It's like damn Twilight Zone out there, man. They're actually giving us, since, Biden got elected, he didn't made it mandatory for federal contractors and federal workers to get shot with the jab or whatever it is.
Right.
This and that. And at my job site, they have it, the deadline is December 8th. And how we get to work, how we get inside the work, we had to scan in. And we don't have our shots by the time, December 8th. They won't let us in the gate. You know what I'm saying? So.
What are you going to do, man?
He's real. Because
I was talking about that. And I didn't want to get into the shot conversation per se, but I'm glad you brought that up because that's actually going to play into the economic situation. Is, people that – I'm going to say this. I took the shot back in April. I wasn't very vocal about it because it was one of those things that it was my medical personal business.
Right.
Right.
If I want to shoot up heroin, I can't. It's my medical personal business. I don't, by the way.
What you want to do.
But I'm just saying. But I'm with the whole my body, my choice shit. As long as Roe v. Wade stands, that shit applies to me as well. And until you make a law that it doesn't apply to me, my body, my choice.
Exactly. But that seems like that only applies to black women and abortions. You know what I'm saying?
But they didn't make me a healthcare worker, is what I'm saying.
You're right. You can always say, I'm going to quit my job and do something else because I'm not going to get this shot.
You may have to, but that's why it's so unfair with the mandates.
Right.
It's basically going against Roe v. Wade, and I think a good attorney would be able to prove that, or at least disprove the legitimacy of Roe v. Wade. If it doesn't apply to men and women, if it doesn't apply to everybody in this country.
Right.
Then that my body, my choice shit is over with. I don't want to hear it no more. I don't want to see no more
pictures. Like I said, that seems like it only applies to abortions. That would have seemed like it only applied to. But when I say my body, they got us around here feeling like we dogs, bro. You know how you got to go get your dog a shot? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They got us like we dogs, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, your dog got that shot yet? I got to go get my rabies shot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I got to get a rabies shot before I go back to work. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, man. I wish there's something that pop up so I can be like Uncle Willie on Friday, next Friday when he said, when I got my check, I was gone. That's how a lot of us feel, you know. But
Duke Almighty said, but niggas ain't trying to quit their job when all last year they were getting the job done without the jab.
Right. Because they had us nurses working on the front line. They wouldn't allow us to get shots. And now we have to get a shot to keep our jobs.
Right. Right.
It's very unfair. Because I was totally against the shot, but I did get the shot because I was mandated to have it.
But I'll say this. That's why I wasn't against the nurses who left the front lines. Why everybody else was attacking them? I'm not against anybody making the best move for their own personal health. For your own health. If you're making the best move, if it ain't doing nothing to hurt me,
it ain't my business.
It ain't my business.
Do what you do.
One thing I don't understand is this. I don't understand why they got vaccinated people afraid of unvaccinated people.
Exactly.
I don't get that because, honestly, it should be the unvaccinated that are afraid of the vaccinated because we can actually still give you COVID. But you see,
well,
once again, this goes into the social breakdown.
Circulated too. That's the whole thing now.
Go ahead, Vance. What'd you say?
Hang on. Well, no, I'm saying, but that's the thing, though, too. It's not that, you know, you vaccinated. That don't mean you're walking around with a COVID shield or nothing. You can still have the virus, carry it, and get rid of it.
Right.
The second. And that's why we had the surge. And the surge wasn't a surge of the unvaccinated. The surge was everybody came outside when the shot came out and the mask mandate was lifted for a week or two. We all did it.
Right.
So, you know, the difference between, you know, people that got it, didn't get it. I got it when it first became available because I knew it was coming. I told the people at work, I was like, look, y'all know we're going to have to take these shots one way or the other.
Right.
If that's what it come down to. They do the voluntary, you know, they were doing voluntary attestment. And all this good stuff, but I was like, you know, basically it's about to come down to get the shot or go get you a job somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah. And again, you know, I'm with the numbers thing too. You say I'm a sheep or not or whatever. I got the shot. I don't think it's nothing about to kill me about this particular shot. Two, I see the numbers. I ain't seeing nobody coming out with three eyes and four legs and whatnot. Every vaccine have its own defects and whatnot. So every one story that you see or hear and you still consider the numbers, it's like, okay, the numbers are still in the other direction of this. Now, again, the long-term effects, we'll figure out when it comes. But the people that start to make them economic decisions about, okay, well, I just don't want to get the shot for whatever reason. Because just easy. Because I don't trust medicine. Because whatever, whatever. You got to weigh that against, you gonna tell these folks you don't want the shot?
Man,
they doing it up
in
New York City. Them people just going home. You know, pay.
Tuskegee is a whack.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's what people are saying. That's like what people say. Oh, I don't care for Alabama because they racist. I care for Auburn.
As if Auburn wasn't racist. I get
hey, that. Auburn was for the blue-collar white folks, and goddamn Alabama was for the bougie white people that's in the country club.
Basically,
so,
right.
Yeah, that's
they
how
all
it
hate
was,
y'all niggas.
Exactly. They just love to see
yeah,
you
niggas
run the football
and
all the
kids.
Run that ball,
hey,
nigga, run.
Hold on one sec. I'll be right back. Y'all go ahead and keep going. Ronnie, hold it down. I'll be right back.
I'll try.
All right. Yeah, let them gentlemen talk. Y'all go on engage.
But I think it should be people's right if they don't want to get the shot. I don't think we should condemn each other for not getting the shot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because like you said, man, you know, it's your body. You have the right to choose what you want to go in. And
on a lighter note,
I don't think it should affect anybody's livelihood, you know, if they don't want to get it. Because what happened last year when all you had to do was sit at home for 2 weeks and watch TV and then after that the virus is over with. I mean, now all of a sudden
you gotta think about it too.
I remember at one point when they didn't talk about it as much.
Proud to hear that.
But at one point, I remember when I want to say for a little bit, you know, they didn't talk about the virus as much, and you know, it went on the news almost every day. Hello.
Yo, what up?
They're not talking to me when you leave, or if I just don't have access to hear them.
Oh, you can't hear them?
Hello?
Yo, y'all fellas
hello?
Still on?
Yeah, we still on. I didn't know she couldn't hear us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I heard her say something from Alabama. I thought she was talking.
Oh, okay. Hey, Big Mac said the phone lines dropped when I left. I'm sorry.
I was telling them on a lighter note that Young Blue won an award tonight, and that's our hometown boy.
Shout out to Young Blue, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to Young Blue, man. I like what that brother doing, man. I like the image he's portraying, man. He seems to be a young, clean cut dude, man. So definitely shout out to Mob Town and shout out to Young Blue once again. Yo, sorry about the technical difficulties. I guess when I remove myself from the screen, then I remove my screen totally. Like everything that's going on. I'm the head Negro in charge. Yes. Man, fellas, I appreciate y'all, man. I really do, man. This has been a good conversation.
Very good.
I'm gonna be talking about the jab. I don't know. I'm just waiting on when I'm ready to get kicked off of this motherfucker. But I think we need to talk about
it.
Nah,
man, we ain't going to. I know how they doing it on YouTube, man. Anytime you don't say anything that's upholding or promoting it, man, yeah, they want to snatch it. They want to pull everything up from under you, man. So, nah, man, we ain't got to go into it. I know me. I know I don't want to take that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you like this. If I have to, and if I turn into something else, I already know I'm going with it. But anyway, I ain't gonna put all that out there. But at the end of the day, man, when I looked at the title of the show, would you give President 1 out of 10? I give that motherfucker 1 because
a 1
at the end, a 1 at the end of the day. If that's the lowest I can give, I would give him a negative. Because he did what every Democratic Party political guy do. They promise us a whole lot of bullshit. They feed off us because, like I said before, we like symbolic victories. And
they parasites, yeah.
And at the end of the day, man, all we got was, I know I'm going to get some hate for this, but I don't care. All we got for this is, all we got out of this dog was a mandate and a statue of a dolphin. And that's all we got. That's all we got, dog. We ain't get none of that other. And then I just read online where he talking about it's been a hard on the student loan forgiveness. I'm like, damn, dude, motherfucker, what are you doing that you said you were going to do for us? Nothing.
I'm just giving a nigga a 1 because he looked like Mr. Burns for nostalgia's sake off The Simpsons. That's the only reason he get a 1 from me, because that mother walked into the podium, he looked just like Mr. Burns. Yo.
Hey, let me jump in and take a left turn here real quick. Remember last week on The View when they snatched Sonny Huston and Navarro off the stage right before Kamala Harris was about to come on?
Right.
You know why?
Why they snatch them off?
Well, they said that they tested positive for COVID at the time. But then later it was revealed they was false positive. But what had happened was they want Sonny and Anna asking Kamala, why y'all let sending out them Haitian time?
Right. Hey. We should do.
She's the border czar. She's the border czar, and we ain't seen no statement from her about the horses running after the Haitians.
Hey, she might well be the czar of shit.
We just slid all past that, but somebody else threw that out there the other day because you know I be in time shit. So I remember the day she was supposed to be on The View, and then it was like a little. Was of, they had to pull them off the stage because they COVID test came back positive right before she was about to come out, and they did this shit on live TV again. They did it on live TV. Like, Joe Behar was, like, about to announce, like, hey, here comes, hey, wait a minute. Hey, Sonny and Anna, come off right now, literally right now on live TV. And then they were like, they tested positive for COVID. But then a few days later, it comes out as a false positive. And I was like, y'all didn't want her to talk. Y'all was so funny. Anne was going to ask about the patients at the border. And ain't nobody asked her nothing about it. We ain't seen her in about 2 weeks, for real.
Man, look, I'm going to say this, and this is going to be real unpopular. But based off of the performance the first year of this administration, I don't care if Trump run again. I'm voting against these people. That's just the truth of the matter. We don't have time for this.
But yeah, we don't have time. Too.
It's a very dark and gloomy month, man. Now, it probably destroyed a lot of faith in me for a lot of people, but it is what it is.
Oh, yeah, Mike, I got to retract.
I don't like the line. Go ahead, bro.
I got an idea, man, for, you know, I know people like to stunt with guns on Facebook and Instagram. They can't shoot straight. They can't hit a damn, they can't hit an 88 Broham Cadillac 5 feet away from with a damn AK-47. But
right,
I'm just saying, they have no shooting skills whatsoever, no combat training whatsoever. But instead
right.
of going to the shooting range, wasting your ammunition, because one thing they want is armless. So if they want to take over, they can take over an unarmed society. But
right.
you don't save the ammunition. Go to stores like Academy and Dixon, get you some of those airsoft guns or the BB guns that are shaped
right.
and hold the same weight as an AR-15, an AK-47, or a 9mm, and practice shooting your targets with those guns. They don't have the recoil or the kickback that you would have from a actual firearm, but they do teach you how to be. It does teach you how to be accurate and use your vision. That's what I do. I don't
right.
go to the range and waste all my ammunition and all that because it's a shortage. So, well, it's not really a shortage. It's what they're putting out that they want to be. The
right.
9mm round is a shortage on that. The 5.56 and 223 round is a shortage on that. But surprisingly, the 300 blackout round is available. We don't like shotguns. I love shotguns. I rebuild shotguns. I modify shotguns.
I love a shotgun. I'm surgical with that bitch.
I love a shotgun. I'm surgical. I can speed go mine like a mother.
Right.
You know, I know a lot of people don't know what speed load is, but I can speed load mine like it ain't. You know, but it's just an idea. But I think those guns
only range from 150 to 200. Hold on, you're going in and out, brother. You're going in and out.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
I say those guns only range from those airsoft pellet guns and BB guns, all the CO2 BB guns, all the range from 150 to $200, and you can get about 1,000 to 2,000 BB or pellets and practice like that. You know what I'm saying? And if you want to take pictures on Facebook and Instagram, hell, they ain't going to know the difference. They're going to think you're shooting a real gun. Yes, you shoot a damn BB gun.
Hey, man.
Get yourself ready.
All you do is set your sights. You set your sights. I shot enough bullets to set my sights to get used to the gun. So when I pull it out and I get ready to rock and roll, I know what I'm working with.
Exactly.
I'm going to say this. Half of you mama raised dudes out here that's out here shooting all over the damn place. For me, myself, and Irene, I didn't come up with this, but y'all couldn't hit a G-spot on a 10-pound pussy around this motherfucker. You couldn't.
Okay.
You hitting babies. You hitting old folks. You hitting kids. You hitting everybody but the intended target. And the nigga still come back and kill your monkey ass.
Right.
You know, I love the gang. I love the gang.
It takes you down. By pointing you out in court because you didn't hit the target. Go set your sights. Learn how to use your weapon.
Learn how to
that might be
sight.
Too many for y'all. Hey, y'all, we going on 2 hours on this, man.
They be walking
so
up
I don't want to
cut.
Hell,
shit. Man,
hey.
Bro, you walk up on me. I'll just hold motherfuckers in 5 seconds. I'll do something to you real
hey,
bad.
Look, man, I got a bullet for every man, woman, and child on the west side of Atlanta. When y'all ready for them? No threats intent. I'm just playing. Just playing. Don't kick me off. Please, don't kick me off. Don't kick me off. Hey, y'all. I appreciate y'all for joining the show tonight, man. Great conversation. We kind of went into some shit. I do want to issue a rebuke though before we go. I want to issue a rebuke to a certain extent. We had last week we had a young lady that went missing. Amber Alert came out. Her name was Adriana Chantrell Griffin, 15-year-old black girl from Shorterville, Alabama, abducted by a 19-year-old white man. We'll catch you later, V-Lane. I shared the Amber Alert message I got on my phone. Why y'all like the shit and didn't share it?
That's a problem.
What did we just talk about? We failed the fire drill on this one. Now, thank God, I got an update. The young girl was found. Obviously, she just was kidnapped briefly to go fuck with her boyfriend for a few days over in Enterprise. Thank God. But this is the type of situation. This was a fire drill, ladies and gentlemen. I told y'all what we plan on doing on this show because I'm tired of hearing people complain about what white folks don't do for us. I told y'all I would do it for us on this show. Next time I put an Amber Alert out, not Miss Amber Alert, but a real Amber Alert. Yeah. Next time I put one out, don't like that motherfucker. Share that motherfucker.
Share it.
That's all I ask. I don't want to lose any more of our children, any more of these young ladies. I don't want our young black women to feel like they unprotected out here on behalf of the Big Mic Drop. So when I put an Amber Alert out there that I got on my phone, I'm going to start posting these. Please do your due diligence and share it. If I say make it go viral, make it go viral.
That's right.
When somebody's kidnapped or when somebody's missing, time is of the essence. And if we don't do that little bit, if we don't do our part, I don't want to hear nothing about next time a white girl missing in the whole fucking world going crazy. I really don't. I'm just going to see it as clout chasing and trying to connect your message to somebody else's misfortune. But when we have our own platform, and I put that out there, y'all please share it. That's all I got to say. Rebuke over. Carry on.
That's fair enough. That's a fair enough request, Mike.
Is that fair enough?
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough.
Cool. I'm sorry for going so hard.
I don't understand the mic stuff.
Yeah, just like it. Oh, like it, care about it. You know, I get it. Hugging the heart. That's cool. The hugging heart emoji. I care. But you got to care enough to care.
Right.
Yeah, you caring ain't going to save somebody's life when they tied up in a damn ice cream truck somewhere.
Basement.
Right, or a basement. Right.
But you know, you got to understand, man. We Hall of Fame jigaboos, man. We do, we don't have each other out, man.
Oh, it's getting one last thing before I go.
Yeah,
I got to tell Big Mag the Fisher about how many of them damn white trout I pulled up out that tank the other night. I got out that tank, boy, that motherfucker. The motherfucking white trout was jumping out the gym. The white trout was jumping out the gym. So I get down with some fishing, man. That's all I wanted to say. Sean, what you got to wrap up with, bro? We're about to get up out of here.
Take yourself and like second and wish your hand trying to be pretty. You know, on the time you need to wish your hand, on the time you need to use your ammo is take yourself and protect your family.
Oh, you're breaking up, bro. You have to get closer and say what you say.
Can you hear?
Now you kinda going in and out. I hear you better. Go ahead.
Can you hear? Well,
It's too bad, son. I don't know if you're in a bad spot, man, but we can't hear what you're saying.
Probably in a bad spot, man. Can you hear me now?
I hear you a little bit better. Go ahead and try to get it out.
Well, I'm just gonna say y'all be safe, and I'm going to holler at y'all later. My phone ain't let me do
that. All right. All right,
y'all. Y'all be easy, man.
All right. Appreciate you, man. We got Sean in the building, man.
No problem.
Long-time contributor, man.
He definitely going to have to do that.
Yeah, yeah, man.
We gotta do a guest live in person one day.
Yeah, man. I plan on having Corman in the studio here. So that would be cool if you and Vance could link up and do some in studio
nice.
Stuff there, and we could
yeah.
just kind of link everything together, man. I'm with that.
Okay.
Ronnie, what you got to wrap up with, man? This has been a hell of a show tonight. 2 hours deep.
Right. He scared me when he said that Bill Gates owns all the farmland. That means he ultimately can one day decide who eats and who doesn't eat.
No, he can't.
I don't like that idea.
Because your boy, Big Mike, I don't even put
it.
I garden, baby. I garden. Baby, we had salsa, motherfucking squash, zucchini, all that shit. Last year was.
You gonna be gardening for us?
I garden. That's all I got to say. Your boy Big Mike get in and get it in.
Don't y'all let Bill Gates starve me, please.
We won't let Bill Gates starve you, man. We're going to get some good collard greens up there in New York, man. Hey, but go ahead, man. Go ahead and say your last bit, man. We got about 90 seconds left. What you got? Take us out. Yeah.
Talking to me or Vance?
I'm talking to you.
I'm done. That's it. I just don't want Bill Gates to starve me.
Okay, we won't let Bill Gates starve you. Man, I appreciate you for joining the show tonight. It's like getting hot. Them lights. You know them studio lights, man? They be all on a nigga face.
It's hot, yeah. You
know, I'm already dark, man. I ain't trying to be shiny and dark. You feel what I'm saying? I'm trying to be dark and light.
Nice.
I need the matte black going on over here. So, yo. But, yo, I appreciate y'all for joining the Big Mic Drop tonight, man. It's good to be back in the house. Also, we got the Halloween party coming up. Let me see the date, man. I don't know. What you doing on Halloween, Ronnie?
I don't really have any plans as of yet.
Okay. October 31st is a Sunday. So Halloween's going to be on a Sunday. I'm doing the Halloween party. Me and V-Lane did it last year. V-Lane was DJing everything, and we did it. Hold on. We got one more caller, man. I'm going to take one last call on here, okay?
All
right. Yo, 251, who we got in the building?
The Third Moon, man. What's happening?
Third Moon, what's happening, Third Moon Top? Man, you got 10 seconds, bro. What you got? Say something. Say something.
I just want to let y'all had a great show, man. I enjoyed the show, man. Y'all keep it going, man. Ronnie, you look marvelous.
Ah, oh. Ronnie, look at my life. All right, appreciate you, bro.
Ronnie,
I'm going to call you when the show's done on the back channel.
All right, bro.
Good night, y'all.
All right, bro. Good night, Ronnie.
Good night.
All right, peace. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the Big Mic Drop, man. You know, we're going to keep doing what we're doing over here. Also, check out the Amber Alert, Miss Amber Alert, on the Big Mic Drop YouTube channel. I'll have that video uploaded tonight, man. We putting that into a show. It's a new part of the show that we're incorporating to take care of all of our gossip needs. Miss Amber Alert. Ronnie, everybody that called tonight, man, thank y'all for making this a great show, man. I'm glad to be back. We'll catch y'all next go round. Peace.
On Facebook on my page and then on the Big Mic Drop page. 20. About 80, 90. Hey, you know, I got to start over a little bit, man, because I took so long off. I don't know what I got to do. You know what I'm saying? Corman like it. Corman like, oh, that nigga right there was the truth. You know what I'm saying? So different things gonna hit different people, but I think we still gotta keep the focus. So we still gotta keep the track on my time. Some of what Reverend White Wright was.
All right, cool. We'll talk to you later. Good night. Good night.
Hello?
Think about that with the way people get surgeries to look unhuman. You ain't never noticed that? A motherfucker gets these surgeries, bro, until they start looking fucked up. Like some animal or something. I think they want to look like them. Because that nigga today look demonic, bro. That nigga didn't look like no regular person. You know what I mean? That's real crazy, bro. It's not me being transphobic or homophobic or whatever type of shit they want to say. That nigga didn't look right, bro. I'll be honest. I've seen trans that look right. That nigga didn't look right. I've seen a trans that looked like a woman.
For real?